Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Monday, July 28th, 2025. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And we are watching the accelerating, rapid decline of the West. That's the topic of today's broadcast. Now, these aren't just flippant comments, and I'm actually saddened to see this happening. I'm watching the decline of my own country, the country that I love, country that I want to succeed. But I cannot dismiss the reality of what's happening. And let me just start out with a rather striking example here that will show this in spades. Now, last week I spoke about the power disparity between China and the United States. Whereas China right now is producing over 10,000 terawatt hours of energy per year, and the U.S. is producing less than half of that, about 4,400 terawatt hours annually. That difference is huge because, of course, AI data centers are the pathway to really world dominance. So whichever nation gets to AI superintelligence first will rule the world. And virtually all AI scientists agree with that very point. That's why there's such a mad rush to try to develop AI in the United States. Did you hear that there's an AI programmer who was offered, in the U.S., offered $1 billion in compensation over a multi-year contract with bonuses? $1 billion. I mean, it's unheard of. Never happened in any industry before. That's the desperation of big tech and the U.S. government to try to get to AI dominance. The problem is there's not enough power in the United States. And as I explained last week, the U.S. is about 15 years too late to have enough power to be competitive with China. And last week I talked about how Trump promised we were going to build 10 of the AP1000 power plants. Each of those power plants produces about 10 terawatt hours annually, okay? That's it, 10 terawatt hours. Now, those are going to be under construction by the year 2030, and they will complete their construction sometime around the year 2044. So they're, let's say, 19 years away from right now from being online. And if you build 10 of them, then 10 times 10 is 100, so you would have 100 terawatt hours of power added to the U.S. power grid sometime around the year 2044. Okay, got that? Now, I covered that last week, so I've got something new to add to this. Now, China has begun construction of the world's largest, by far, the largest dam and hydropower station. It's called the Meidong. I'm not even sure of the correct Chinese pronunciation of this. I'll probably get that figured out soon, but it's spelled M-E-D-O-G like Meidong, but I know it's not pronounced Meidong. Maybe it's Meidong. Hydropower station. The construction just began in China, and it's in a Tibetan area that's very close to the border with India, and this area was chosen because of the very high elevation difference from the mountainous regions down to the valleys. There's a lot of vertical drop. And because of the construction of this dam, when it is finished, this dam will produce 300 terawatt hours annually, which is as much as 30 of the AP1000 power plants that Trump is talking about. But Trump's not planning on building 30. He's planning on building 10. And the 10 will be done by the year 2044, roughly, give or take. This new dam in China, which again will produce as much power as 30 of the nuclear power plants, this will be online producing power in 2033, according to, you know, the current plans. So that's, let's just say it's 8 years away. If it's late, it might be 9 years. It might be 10 years. But it's not 20 years. And this one dam, again, will produce as much power as 30 nuclear power plants. And yet, China does not need nuclear power, obviously, because hydroelectric dams operate off of the energy in falling water. So there's no fuel necessary. This dam, when it is completed, it will, of course, it will feed power into AI data centers in China. Data centers that will have dirt cheap electricity, less than 8 cents per kilowatt hour. Whereas in the United States, we're typically paying about quadruple that, 30 something cents per kilowatt hour. And in Europe, they're paying again another four times higher than that on average, which is a whole different topic. So China will have electricity available at about 1/8 the cost of Europe, or about 1/4 the cost of the United States, and also in great abundance, lots of abundance of power, not relying on coal, not relying on nuclear energy, not relying on solar or wind, just relying on falling water. So China has found a way to turn water into artificial intelligence by building a hydroelectric dam, funneling the power into an AI data center, and then having the microchips and the software, et cetera, to build advanced AI systems. China is rapidly pursuing that path at a pace that the U.S. cannot even begin to keep up with, not even close. I've already given you some of the timetable here. The U.S. is not even competitive in the space of power production. Furthermore, just over the weekend, Trump announced a big new tariff deal with the EU. So instead of EU tariffs being a flat 30%, he said that he's lowering the tariffs on most products out of the EU to only 15%. At first, that sounds like good news until you realize there are things that are exempt from that lowering, things that will still have a 50% tariff from the EU. And what are those things? Steel, aluminum, and copper. Steel, I say to you again, turn on your pattern detection circuits right now. Steel, aluminum, and copper. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about data centers. We're talking about the race to AI superintelligence. We're talking about China being able to provide cheap, dirt cheap electricity into massive scale AI data centers in the early 2030s. Or even right now, they already produce more power than the U.S. by far. But what Trump is doing is he's going to put a 50% tariff, well, it's already in place, on exactly the materials that you need in large quantities to build AI data centers. Got it? It's almost as if Trump is, I'm not saying this is literally the case, but it's almost as if he's working as a proxy for China. Again, that's I'm not saying literally that's the case, but you couldn't do better for China than to put 50% tariffs on the very materials that you need to build AI data centers in the United States. China is loving every minute of this because now AI data centers will be very expensive and there will be long delays because of the supply chain disruptions caused by these tariffs on those commodities. At the same time, the U.S. Eastern power grid is already maxed out. No more data centers can be brought online in the 13 eastern states, mostly northeastern states, but also including Virginia, which most people consider to be the South, or at least informed people do, plus Washington, D.C. So no more data centers in Virginia or D.C., nothing. So where are you going to build the data centers? Well, you have to build them in Texas. And so there are so many data centers planned for Texas that we learned a couple of months ago that Texas would have to build 10 nuclear power plants by the year 2035 in order to keep up with the power demand that's placed on the Texas power grid by these data centers. Except the problem is there won't be 10 nuclear power plants built by the year 2035. There will be 10 nuclear power plants built somewhere across the United States by the year 2044, almost a decade too late, but not 10 in Texas by the year 2035. That's impossible. You can't plan and get approvals and permits and build a nuclear power plant in Texas in 10 years. It doesn't work. You cannot do that. Just doesn't happen. Meanwhile, Lutnick and Besant, both of these clowns, are bragging about how much money they're making from the tariffs. Think about this. It's like, I mentioned this last week, it's like shooting yourself in the face and bragging about collecting free bullets. I mean, that's how insane this is. You are destroying the supply chain that's necessary to build data centers and even electrical infrastructure that's necessary to compete in the AI race against China, to even have a chance to compete against China. You're destroying that supply chain and bragging about how much you're raising in terms of tariff money, which is really taxation money. And even whatever they're raising, you know, $27 billion a month or something, it's a drop in the bucket compared to the $37 trillion of national debt that exists. So in 1 month of all these tariffs that are going to completely disrupt electrical grid infrastructure build-outs, data centers, power grid substations, all of that, total disruption of that, Lutnick and Besant are bragging about raising less than 0.1% of the total U.S. debt. It's less than that. It's not even 1%. It's not even 0.1%. It's less than 0.1% in a month. I mean, these people are absolute clowns. It's like they have been dispatched to sabotage America and to make sure that America cannot win the AI wars. Think about that. I tweeted out the following, quote, "I can barely begin to describe how rapidly China is dwarfing the United States in power infrastructure, robotics, data centers, and AI development, factory automation, naval shipyards, rare earth minerals extraction, and many other technologies. The tipping point of China's dominance was already crossed many years ago. And as I'm getting reports from my own people who are scouting an AI trade show happening right now in Beijing," and that's true, I have people on the floor at the show sending me photos and reports and everything about what's going on with the AI scene in China right now. Quote, "It's abundantly obvious that the USA is going to be rapidly eclipsed by China's technological and manufacturing dominance." Yeah, that's true. China has banned the export of its most advanced AI technology to the United States. Meanwhile, Trump thinks that he is hurting China by blocking exports of U.S. microchips to China. What a clown show. China doesn't care. China's already got better technology. China's banning exports to the United States to make sure the U.S. doesn't get its hands on China's far more advanced technology. That's actually what's happening. You know, and that's not what you're being told. You're not being told this in social media or any mainstream news outlet. You're being told exactly the opposite. You're told that the USA is leading the world in every possible way in economics, GDP, military technology, AI technology, on and on and on. It's all lies. U.S. military technology is at least a decade behind both China and Russia, probably more than a decade. U.S. rare earth minerals extraction is easily 20 years behind China. U.S. robotics technology, easily a decade behind China. U.S. drone technology, a decade behind Russia. You know, on and on. I can't think of an area where the United States is leading other than debt generation and heavy payload lifts by rockets into orbit. The U.S. does seem to be strong in that area. I don't even think the U.S. is leading in quantum computing anymore. China's leading in quantum computing. So, continuing with my tweet, I say, U.S. universities churn out woke idiots, while China's universities churn out huge numbers of mechanical engineers, physicists, mathematicians, chemical engineers, and more. The U.S. government focuses on punishing the world with dollar currency weaponization, while BRICS nations focus on creating fair, free trade with decentralized settlement systems, ultimately backed by gold. And I know some of you say, well, China doesn't engage in fair trade. They have currency manipulation. Have you looked at the manipulation of the dollar lately, or the manipulation of silver by JP Morgan, or the manipulation of gold or cryptocurrency, or the debt markets by the US, why do you think the dollar is plunging versus other world currencies? That's total currency manipulation by the United States under the Trump administration on purpose. That's currency manipulation. I mean, it's just, it's right there in your face. The US empire desires war and destabilization to stay in power. So does the UK. While BRICS nations want peace and trade to achieve mutual abundance. This is what's becoming clear. The US and Israel and the UK, they just want war, destabilization, fund all the terrorists, fund the opposition, fund anything that can destabilize the world. And those days are coming to an end. In fact, Brazil gave the finger to the United States over the weekend, saying, we're not going to bow down to Trump's demands. We're going to pursue BRICS no matter what. Trump gave the finger to the United States in recent negotiations. In fact, the tariff war with China has just been delayed by Trump another 90 days. So the deadline that was coming up, I think August 8th, was it? That's been delayed another 90 days. Why? Because the U.S. can't function without China's rare earth metals. That's why. And every time Trump goes in, or his people go in and try to get tough with China, we're going to punish you with sanctions, crackdowns. We're going to punish you. You know, China just says, okay, no neodymium for you. No soup for you. You see a table of elements, you get nothing. Yeah. You just point to any element on the table. Yeah, you don't get it. That's what China is saying. And then the U.S. has to back down but pretend like we won. We're winning. So the U.S. announces opening up a rare earth minerals mine in Wyoming. That's actually a coal mine where they're going to extract like micrograms of rare earths. Like in a month, they'll have enough to fill a thimble, you know. That's our rare earth supply chain. No, it isn't. It's a clown show. You're laughing stocks of the world. And so I concluded by saying the U.S. has squandered its wealth, its post-World War II global dominance, and its resources. Rather than achieving excellence and leading the world by example, the U.S. empire has only achieved its own suicide destruction while browbeating the world with coercion, tariffs, sanctions, and bombs. You are witnessing the last chapter of the collapsing U.S. empire. And, of course, you will not see this analysis in any media, not Fox News, not even CNN, nothing. And as an example of the kind of coercion that the U.S. engages in, and the kind of global terrorism that the U.S. actually achieves, even against its own allies, part of this new deal with the EU, which has dropped most tariffs to 15%, except, you know, not steel, aluminum, or copper, the EU agrees to purchase something like $750 billion of energy from the United States. And that's largely going to consist of LNG, liquefied natural gas. So that's going to be sold to China at crazy high prices, of course. Why? Because the United States blew up the Nord Stream pipelines back in, what was it? Was it the fall of 22 or was it 23? I think it was 22. In the Baltic Sea, the U.S. Navy planted demolition charges, blew up Nord Stream, cut off Western Europe's energy supply from Russia, which was cheap, abundant energy through Gazprom. So that began the total industrial destruction of Germany and much of Western Europe, the shutting down of automobile plants and BASF and all kinds of manufacturing facilities in Paris and in Berlin and elsewhere. And now Trump turns around and says, ha ha, you morons, after we blew up your energy supply, now you're going to buy energy from us. You're going to pay through the nose for it. And then you're also going to pay for all the weapons that we send to Ukraine. That's right. So you're going to fund the war. You're going to fund the energy. You're going to make us rich. And basically you, Western Europe, you're going to be gone. You're toast. You're done. That's what Trump just did. Now, you might argue and say, well, you know, the UK deserves that because the UK is run by, you know, a bunch of pedophiles. And these are not comments on the people of the UK. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, you know, the pedo royals in charge of everything. They are demons. You know, they're vampires and, you know, blood suckers and whatever else. And yeah, they ran the MI6 campaign against Trump, the Russian dossier. Frankly, MI6 ran a bunch of censorship campaigns against myself and others as well. So I understand Trump wanting to destroy the city of London, the UK. I understand why Trump is pulling all the gold out of London and the LBMA. I understand that. In fact, it needs to be done. The UK in particular, the UK government needs to collapse. They need a real revolution in the UK. So I get that. But think about the fact that the United States is willing to do that to its own supposed allies. Wow. And heavy tariffs on Japan, tariffs on Taiwan, tariffs on South Korea, tariffs on Canada. While Trump runs around and says, yeah, we're going to take Greenland and we're going to take Panama too. Two additional U.S. allies. And everybody's saying, what? Does it even pay to be a friend of the United States? And the answer, of course, is not really. I mean, look at what happened to Ukraine. Ukraine, remember, 2014, color revolution. We installed our own puppet, kicked out the pro-Russian government of Ukraine, and then ran Ukraine as a puppet proxy state all the way up until, you know, the Russian invasion, special military operation in February of 2022, right? We ran Ukraine, Victoria Nuland, Jake Sullivan, the whole thing. The U.S. State Department and the Biden regime ran Ukraine, used it for massive money laundering and kickbacks and fraud and everything. And what did Ukraine get in return? About 1 million dead young men is what Ukraine got. And the total economic destruction of the country of Ukraine. And it's going to lose some significant portion of its territory. And it's losing the territory that counts the most. That is the farmland, the rare earth minerals, the energy resources, and all the steel factories in the Donbass region, obviously. Ukraine is losing the most valuable parts. And probably Ukraine will lose the port of Odessa as well, which means Ukraine will no longer have access to the Black Sea at all. That's probably where this is headed. And that's what happens when you are a friend of the United States. Your country will be decimated, sacrificed on the altar of an attempt of global hegemony by a collapsing U.S. empire. The U.K. is going to be completely obliterated. Again, the leadership there deserves it. I'm not arguing with that, but that's what's going to happen. Ukraine is mostly already defeated. My question is, what's going to happen to Taiwan? When the U.S. wants to go to war with China, they're going to try to run that through Taiwan. And they're going to sacrifice, if they can, the Taiwanese people, the Taiwan country, the Taiwan economy. They're going to sacrifice that in order to try to hurt China. And it's all going to fail and backfire, just like it has with Ukraine and Russia. Just like it has with Israel versus Iran, by the way. Iran just about obliterated Israel in 12 days. And there's more yet to come from that chapter. And by the way, the Taiwan Semiconductor Company now is a trillion-dollar company in terms of its stock valuation. It's worth more than $1 trillion. Yeah, Taiwan Semiconductor, because it manufactures so many of the world's most crucial microchips. The U.S. actually has plans on the books to bomb the Taiwan Semiconductor factories in order to prevent them from falling into the hands of China. And that's the way the U.S. operates with its friends, with its allies. And what is the United States willing to sacrifice in Japan? Pretty much everything. The U.S. would not hesitate at all to see Japan completely destroyed in a war, a regional war, with China. And have no illusions. Japan could not defend itself at all, nor could Taiwan defend itself against a determined Chinese war. So the U.S. is running around the world trying to destroy its enemies, but it's actually obliterating its allies and causing the accelerated collapse of Western civilization. And part of this is because the U.S. doesn't understand it is no longer the dominant power on the planet. Lindsey Graham, who is an absolute moron, runs around talking tough with all his swagger, like he can threaten everybody, and he does. He threatens China, he threatens Russia, he threatens Iran. The guy talks big, like he's Mr. Big Stuff, but he can't make good on any of those threats. He's a clown. The whole world sees Lindsey Graham as a total clown, a guy who just spouts off his mouth and can't back it up. The U.S. can't back up these threats anymore. I mean, look at the fact that the U.S. can't even provide enough missiles to Israel to defend itself against 2 weeks of Iran launching its own missiles. The U.S. can't provide Patriot missile interceptors to Ukraine anymore. Trump recently promised to ship 17 Patriot missile batteries to Ukraine, but those 17 don't exist. Again, I did a whole episode on this. You know, and I've said before, you can print dollars, you can't print artillery, you can't print interceptors, and you can't print terawatt hours of electricity. The only thing that the U.S. can produce is debt and currency that's increasingly useless. The U.S. cannot produce munitions, hypersonic missiles. It can't produce the leading AI technology anymore. It can't produce the robots. It can't produce rare earth minerals. It can't produce naval vessels at anywhere close to the pace of China. The U.S., it is being eclipsed right now. But nobody in the White House realizes that yet because they're still living in the past. They're living in the 1980s. Lindsey Graham is clearly living in the 1980s. Lindsey Graham is living in a cocaine party from the 1980s. And Trump, nobody knows what universe he's living in. And I've heard him describe his brain best described as a random number generator, because every once in a while he'll spout out 50 days, you know, 30%. Or it's 50% at 30 days, you know, 15%. It's just numbers spouting everywhere, and they don't mean anything. They have no actual traction in the real world. And all the numbers that he says don't mean anything. Like this 90-day window deadline with China. In 90 days, we're going to slap, boom, a 50% on China. And then as the 90 days approaches, it's like, let's do another 90 days. Bing, plus 90, you know. Just random numbers coming out of his head at any given moment. But none of them actually mean anything. The White House AI document, which I quoted from last week, and I think I still have it in my browser, and it's a clown show. Donald J. Trump, his statement right at the beginning of that, says the following: as our global competitors race to exploit these technologies, it is a national security imperative for the United States to achieve and maintain unquestioned and unchallenged global technological dominance. Well, too late for that, Trump. You've already lost that. You can't maintain global dominance if you don't have it, and you don't have it. So you can't get it back because you don't have enough power generation in America. And you don't have manufacturing dominance. You don't have currency dominance. The entire global South is telling you to go pound sand every time you say you're going to announce more tariffs and more sanctions and more lockdowns of your money. You know what? Like Brazil, China, Russia, Iran, you know what they say? Yeah, screw you. We don't care anymore. And a bunch of other countries are jumping on board that same bandwagon. We don't care anymore. You can scream and shout all you want, Trump, but we're just going to trade with each other in non-dollar currencies. We're basically rebuilding a new banking system from scratch that doesn't use the dollar, doesn't use the SWIFT system. And do you realize, you listening to this, because most of you are Americans, so you're probably horrified by learning some of this. I was horrified too. Do you realize what this is going to do to our quality of life in America as the BRICS system becomes the global dominant settlement system, which it will take a number of years for it to be fully in place. But as it happens, our wealth as a nation will absolutely collapse because our dollars won't purchase much of anything internationally because nobody wants dollars anymore. So if you pay $1,000 right now for, let's say, a washer-dryer combo from, I don't know, Home Depot or whatever that's made in South Korea, which is very typical, before long, that will cost you $10,000, you know, within a couple of years, probably. $10,000. Why? Because the dollar's collapsing. Nobody wants the dollars. And Korean companies will not want dollars because they can't unload them very easily. Nobody wants them. There's no longer any real demand for dollars around the rest of the world. The dollars that will be purchased, or the dollar debt that will be purchased by the Federal Reserve itself, or Trump will coerce some, quote, allies like the UK to buy some US debt that the UK can't even afford, because the UK is also facing its own financial collapse, and as well as the euro currency itself outside of the UK is facing collapse in the years ahead. The entire debt pyramid of the West is going to come tumbling down. And again, as that happens, Westerners are going to find themselves thrust into abject poverty. Just runaway poverty, they won't be able to afford to live at all. There was a story over the weekend that health insurance costs are set to spike up next year at the largest percentage of any year in history. Many health insurance policies will go up by 75%. And I know that you listening to this, if you have a health insurance policy, you're probably already thinking you're paying through the nose. You can barely afford it now. Next year, you're going to pay up to 75% more for the same, quote, coverage. This is why I don't have health insurance, other than I think what my company just offers by default. I don't buy health insurance. My health insurance is investing in nutrition and health and exercise and sunshine and therapeutic peptides and, you know, superfoods, all the things that keep me healthy so I don't need doctors and hospitals and pharmaceuticals. That's my health insurance. And believe me, I save a fortune compared to most Americans, because many Americans my age are spending thousands of dollars a month on health insurance. And they're taking all kinds of pharmaceuticals, and they're visiting doctors constantly, and they're wasting dozens of hours of their time at the pharmacy waiting for pharmacists to fill bottles with poison pills. Yeah, I don't do any of that stuff. And I'm way better off because of it. But for all the Americans that rely on that broken death care system, it's going to get a whole lot more expensive to participate in your own medically assisted suicide, which is really what the system is. Within 2 years, you're going to be paying double of what you paid in 2025, if not more. And then 2 years after that, you'll probably be paying double again until you're either broke, you can't pay it, you cut off your health insurance, or you have to sell your house to pay for health insurance. You see, this is where it's going. This entire Western system is unsustainable. It will collapse. It is collapsing in real time. And it's unsustainable because it's built on unethical profiteering by a culture that has abandoned morality and abandoned humanity and is only interested in the narcissistic pleasures of profit. People just want to make as much money as possible, no matter what, no matter what happens to their country, to their neighbors, to their family, even to themselves. People will die from vaccines while their portfolio is invested in Pfizer. You know? I mean, that's how insane it is. Well, it was up 25% last year. Yeah, but you have fibrous clots in your arteries now. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? You see, this entire Western system is utterly unsustainable. It is headed for collapse. I put out a podcast on Friday. I think it was Friday. With a very simple title, and I was trying not to sound braggadocious or anything, just saying, look, follow what I teach and your life will improve quickly. And note that I'm not saying follow me. I've never been one to, you know, put myself into a guru type of position, like you have to follow me, whatever I say. No, follow what I teach, follow the principles that I'm teaching, which are principles that are actually universal. And they're the same principles that have been taught by many, many other people. And it's very simple, really. Many of the principles are like decentralization. Get away from centralized control of the medical system or the money system. But also, don't trust in government. Don't trust in the medical system. Don't trust in conventional doctors. Trust in nature. Trust in your body's natural innate healing capabilities. And clean up your diet, for God's sake. Clean up everything. Clean up your laundry detergent. Clean up your personal care products. Clean up your life. Get rid of all the toxins in your diet. Read ingredients labels. And if they're really long labels, probably you don't want to eat that stuff. And if you do these simple things, you will be so much healthier. And you won't end up on a bunch of pharmaceuticals wondering how you're going to afford, quote, health insurance, which isn't even health insurance. It's sickness insurance. And also, I say, don't take any vaccines at all, ever. I don't take any vaccines. I don't take any prescription drugs. You know what I do. I've shared my lifestyle with you. This is the lifestyle that's sustainable. This is what works. People who go the opposite way and who keep taking jabs and keep taking prescription drugs and keep getting sick and you know, keep eating processed junk foods, they will be broke and dead. They will not make it, which actually brings me back to a critical point. I briefly mentioned this last week, but I don't think I emphasize it enough, which is that the only way the United States government can free up power on the national power grid enough to power more AI data centers is to, shall we say, arrange for the mass die-off of hundreds of millions of Americans. And if there are, let's say, 200 million fewer Americans using energy for air conditioning, electric vehicles, refrigerators, hair dryers, etc., lights, you know, all of it, Bitcoin mining. If the government can kill off 200 million Americans, then they can free up, I think I did the math on this, what was it? It's about 1,500 terawatt hours annually of power, which is still, I mean, that's only about 15% of what China produces right now. But it's something. And if you don't think your government is willing to kill you in order to get what it wants, in order to try to achieve dominance in the most important technological advancement area in the history of human civilization, then, you know, you're living in a dream world. The government's willing to kill any number of you or us to achieve its power if it thinks that killing you can give it more power, it will do so. Plus, think about it. Think about all the pensions that wouldn't have to be paid at that point. Think about all the Social Security that wouldn't have to be paid. Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps. You see what I mean? You get to the point very quickly realizing that mass death of the American people is the only way the United States government can remain financially solvent, actually. It makes you wonder. I mean, yeah, Bessent and Lutnick, they can brag about $27 billion. It's nothing. If they really want to increase revenues versus costs, they're going to have to exterminate a couple hundred million Americans, and don't put it past them. They're probably working on that plan right now. Do you realize that a nuclear war that kills 200 million Americans is the only real way that the United States government can both balance its budget and free up enough power infrastructure to feed the AI data centers? You realize that? And then it makes sense to realize why Trump continues to provoke Putin and to lie about Putin's position. and to send more weapons to Ukraine, you know, to try to get Russia to launch nuclear weapons. Realize that? Look, there's a very important principle to understand here. When a country is dominating the world in terms of production, factory production, you know, physical material production, but can also include commodities, that country, which is currently China, that country wants peace because it benefits from peacetime trade. Okay? So the country that's in the dominant position of production and industry wants global peace, and it wants sea lanes to be protected and to be calm. It wants stability. The United States was in that position in the 1950s and the 1960s and the 1970s, etc. But today, that's not the case. Today, the United States is the nation that has the greatest debt and the largest financial obligations. And just like a certain person put a, was it Silverstein, put a $5 billion policy on the World Trade Center buildings, certain people profited from the events of 9/11. Does that ring a bell? On a national scale, there are entities, institutions, and certain individuals who will profit from the destruction of much of the country's population and the continuation or escalation of war. So again, to summarize, the countries that are producing and that can compete with exports, they want peace, they want trade, they want stability. The countries that are deeply in debt, that cannot compete through production, they want chaos, they want war. They want to be able to wipe out their debt and wipe out their obligations through some big emergency such as a nuclear exchange. That's where the United States is today. That's why, and also the UK, much of Western Europe, etc. That's why Western civilization is pushing for nuclear war. And you've even got Israel on top of this that wants some kind of, you know, biblical annihilation event, some kind of weird Jerusalem nuke or something that they think is going to invoke God to come save Israel. I mean, that's a whole different conversation. But even without that factor, the U.S. leadership wants a massive war, a nuclear exchange, to have an excuse for eliminating millions of people and wiping out debts and obligations to those people. And also basically resetting the currency at that time. So that is why we are at the moment in history that we find ourselves right now. Because all the incentives are there for the United States to provoke war and chaos. But at the same time, all the incentives exist for China to promote peace and trade. And this situation didn't used to be this way, right? You go back to 1971 when Richard Nixon recognized China instead of Taiwan, you know, he switched it to mainland China. At that time, China was a third world, you know, crap hole, basically. It had no real skills, no manufacturing base, no industry to speak of. It had no energy grid to speak of. You know, China was a backwards nation in 1971. But the people of China, after being given this recognition and then all kinds of technology transfers by the West, the people of China, who have tremendous discipline and a work ethic and are also genetically very high IQ people, they took advantage of that situation and they worked and they sacrificed to put themselves in a position where they are right now, the global dominant power of industry and technology by far, and energy and AI and all the things that we've talked about by far. No one else even comes close, not Russia, not the UK, you know, not Taiwan, not Iran, not America, nothing. China stands head and shoulders above all these other countries in all these key areas. And now many people in the West look at China and they're like, oh, we created a monster. No, you people in the West, you created the monster because you became the monster. You became the monster. When Nixon took us off the gold standard and then we just started printing money into oblivion, we became the monsters. The U.S. became the monster, running around the world with coercion, bullying everybody, threatening every other country, carrying out assassinations, color revolutions, CIA operations, you know, financial enslavement, economic hitmen, all of it. To this day, plus sanctions, cutting off countries from the SWIFT system, seizing their assets, like we did with Russia, on and on. The U.S. has become the monster, and the world is done with it. And there's no way out of this other than some kind of massive war. And that's what I think Trump absolutely realizes. There's no way out of this without war. So Trump campaigned on peace, but frankly, probably in his mind, he thinks the fate of the U.S. empire depends on a massive nuclear war and a mass die-off of millions of Americans. You know, for the reasons I previously mentioned, to balance the budget and otherwise. And look, I understand. You might be listening to this and thinking, there's no way that's possible. Trump loves America. Trump is doing the best thing for America. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But probably in Trump's mind, he has become convinced that the best thing for America is a nuclear war. At least, I mean, I can't read his mind. I don't know for sure. So this is just conjecture on my part. But it's not totally outlandish. It's not outside the realm of the way leaders operate. They are routinely willing to sacrifice their own people. I mean, Trump launched Operation Warp Speed, and he bragged about it. Trump put out the bioweapon jabs, and he injected the entire U.S. military. And how many people died? Across America, at least 1.5 million Americans died, and millions more were maimed and injured. And Trump has never backed down from that. He bragged about it, Operation Warp Speed. So don't tell me Trump would never harm the American people. He already did it. He already did it once. And he's doing it again. Look at these tariffs on copper and steel and aluminum. Good luck building a house or a commercial building or electrical distribution substations. Good luck. You're going to pay through the nose because of what Trump just did. He's doing it on purpose. He's targeting data centers. I mean, those are the three elements that go into, or the three commodities that go into data centers. Steel not being an element, but a commodity made from elements. Copper and aluminum being elements, but Trump has targeted all three of them. How are you going to build data centers? Yeah, you're not. So these data centers that are being that are planned to be built in Texas, I can tell you they're never going to come online because we don't have the power. We don't have the power. And they won't be able to get the materials to even build them. Where are you going to dump $1 trillion into data centers in Texas? You can't buy $1 trillion worth of materials to build data centers because the markets have been eroded so deeply by Trump's attack on the global supply chain. So again, what I think Trump has come to realize is that nuclear war is his only victory plan, actually. It's his only way out of this conundrum. You might say, well, no, but nuclear war would destroy the electrical infrastructure. Not actually. No. Most of the deaths from nuclear war would be caused by radiation, not by direct hits. There'd be a certain group of people that are just instantly vaporized. But the vast majority of deaths would be from radiation fallout, and radiation fallout at those levels barely, it wouldn't even affect copper wires or aluminum wires. So you still have all the wiring, unless you're right under the detonation, in which case your whole building is vaporized. But outside of the immediate blast zone, and remember, the blast zones will be right over the downtown, you know, downtown cities. Well, guess what? Data centers aren't built in downtown cities. You know why? Because data centers need a lot of space and a lot of power. So they tend to build data centers outside of the cities where they're closer to the power infrastructure and where they have more affordable land so they can build single floor data centers that are more sprawling horizontally. So a nuclear war over the cities kills people, but it doesn't necessarily take out data centers that are many miles away, depending on, you know, the size of the detonation, obviously. But a lot of these nuclear weapons are actually very limited in their area effect. You know, again, depending on the yield, but it's radiation that kills people. It's not that they are physically blown away for the most part. It's the radiation sickness, and the medical system would profit from that. You would have record profits on anti-radiation drugs, wouldn't you? Yeah, I wonder who's investing in those right now. We could look it up. It would not be a surprise to find out who, would it? No, because people know what's coming. They're making it happen. Hospitals would have record profits, right? I mean, nuclear war could be turned into a profit windfall in America in the same way that the COVID bioweapons attack was also turned into a massive profit windfall for drug companies and hospitals and medical equipment manufacturers. Do you realize how many respirators were sold? How many pairs of latex gloves were sold to governments? I mean, Governor Newsom of California spent $1 billion on masks. Now, they never showed up, of course. It was all a money laundering operation. But they used the emergency as the cover story to buy the masks. You see, nuclear war is a profit windfall for the institutions that Trump has been protecting. Big Pharma, the medical industrial complex, and the military industrial complex. Don't think that they can't figure out how to profit from war, even that they can't profit from domestic attacks. Of course they can. Profited from 9/11, didn't they? Big time. Waged wars for decades off of 9/11. That funneled, you know, trillions of dollars into the military-industrial complex and allowed for massive government surveillance of the people. All kinds of profit came out of 9/11. And again, somebody says, oh, no, they would never do that. They would never want to bring harm to the American people. Do you realize that the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon that was used as the template for the vaccine jabs was created by the Department of Defense? Wow, what an incredible mystery. No, they were building weapons to be deployed against the American people. They simply laundered it through the Wuhan lab in China so they could have a cover story to blame China. Understand? But the weapon was built by taxpayer money funneled into the Pentagon. And then Trump deployed it, that weapon, against the American people and bragged about it and claimed that because of his advocacy for the vaccines, that he saved the U.S. economy. He still claims that to this day. I want to play for you this under 2 minute clip from my interview last week with Colonel Douglas McGregor. It's Colonel McGregor talking about the financial abyss that we're on the verge of right now. Check out this clip because he does a good job summing it up.
First of all, I think that we are on the edge of the proverbial abyss. I think the financial crisis that's coming is going to have a terrible impact here. You know, Jamie Dimon just a few days ago talked about the bond market, which we were discussing earlier. And he said the crack in the system is widening so quickly that we could end up in a situation far worse than anything we saw in 2008 that would probably look closer to the Depression. Now, this is Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon is not someone that under normal circumstances would say anything like that. He's too busy trying to get people to invest with him. But he's turned around and he is sounding a very serious alarm. It's a little late in the game, to be blunt, but he's quite sincere. You've got to look at all of the leaders in the financial sector. You know, look, somebody like Luke Groman is very knowledgeable, good analyst. Go to Jeffrey Gundlach, who is probably the most brilliant of all. Then you have Alistair MacLeod on gold. I would encourage all of your viewers, go listen to these people.
Absolutely.
I'm not a financial analyst. It's not my forte. But I can listen and learn, and I can see a serious crisis coming when it's coming. We're on the verge of that. You know, one of the things that somebody asked me, which will happen first? Will we be back at war in the Middle East and potentially with Russia by September? Or do we have a financial collapse between now and September? And I said, I don't know which comes first, but I think they're both very, very likely at this stage. I don't see how we weather this.
So there's Colonel Douglas McGregor talking about the financial issues. And I would add, although these are my words, not his, I would add that the financial problems that our country is facing are not resolvable through tariffs or taxation or trade or restructuring debt or issuing 50-year treasuries or, you know, none of that will make a dent in it. Not even close. The only way out for the people in charge is a catastrophic reset of some kind, some way to wipe out their obligations, pensions, you know, entitlements, Social Security, etc. And as Gerald Celente says, when all else fails, they take you to what? They take you to war. Why? Because war provides the perfect excuse for the reset that they want, for the wipeout of the obligations that they need, for domestic control over their own people. War provides everything that the people in charge need to stay in power. And if that war happens to kill 100 million Americans, well, in the minds of the people in charge, hey, that just frees up more power grid infrastructure for data centers for the AI race, doesn't it? And it, you know, it ends all those obligations instantly. So ponder this. Now, just over the last few days, another shocking breaking news story has emerged that could provide a cover story for the nuking of U.S. cities. Now, this has come out, but only in very limited ways. I'm reading from cybernews.com. Here it is. Europe's defense giant, Naval Group, this is out of France, hit with major breach, hackers claim. Naval Group is the largest shipbuilder in France, suffered a major hacker attack. A sample of the data from the attackers was shared online, and it apparently contains real details. A threat actor announced that the supposed Naval Group data breach was announced on a popular data leak forum. They have accessed combat management systems used by France's submarines and frigates. Interestingly, I'm reading from the article, attackers don't seem to be interested in selling the data, as data leak forum users often do. Instead, they're looking to extort the Naval Group by threatening to leak the data. Now, Naval Group is a major player in the European defense sector. It employs over 15,000 people. It's got annual revenues of over $5 billion. And the French government is one of the main stakeholders. And what the hackers were able to get was the entire source code that powers the, what is this again? The CMS, the command management system of military ships. Okay, all the source code. Basically a blueprint for how to take over control of the ships. All the network data, technical documents that have top secret restrictions, access to developers' virtual machines, and other confidential exchanges. They have apparently 13 gigabytes of data. And what's clear from this is that there could be a remote attack that takes over control of, for example, nuclear submarines that could, at least theoretically, launch nuclear missiles from the submarines. Got it? And those could be launched onto U.S. cities, huh? And if you look up the data on France's nuclear-capable submarines, you will find that they currently have 4 ballistic missile submarines. Let's see. Each of those submarines carries 64 submarine-launched ballistic missiles. Got it? So we have 64 basically nuclear ICBMs that are now potentially under the control of hackers. Okay, so 64 intercontinental ballistic missiles, they are actually the M51 missiles. And the M51 missiles have an operational range, I'm reading, from 8,000 to 10,000 kilometers. That's far. That's far. So how far is it from France, let's say, to New York City? Not that the submarines are in, I mean, they're in the sea, obviously. They're probably closer than this. But the range from, let's say, Paris to New York City is under 6,000 kilometers. In other words, let me just back up and state this carefully. Hackers have just obtained the source code, giving them potentially total control over the combat control systems of 64 nuclear submarine-launched ballistic missiles that can hit targets all along the east coast of the United States. Got it? Okay. So what this means is France is going to have to take all of these submarines offline immediately, which would drastically impact the nuclear deterrent posture of NATO. You know, these submarines are a big part of the nuclear deterrence against Russia. France is going to have to take them all offline, which would, of course, alert Russia to the fact that, hey, Europe can't really respond if we nuke Europe right now. Or if France doesn't take them offline, those submarines might launch the missiles because a hacker might control them to hit whatever targets the hacker wants to hit. Possibly Paris, possibly, you know, London, possibly Washington, D.C. We don't know. Or maybe it's a different narrative and they want to hit, you know, Moscow to start a retaliation world war. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios that come to mind on this. This is a very dangerous situation. But obviously, this cover story, or this could serve as a cover story for an effort to nuke the United States of America, to kill off millions of Americans, decrease the population, reset the currency, you know, declare martial law, whatever, and effectively put the United States of America on a nuclear war footing, which is exactly what I think the Trump administration wants. So who's the hacker that stole all of this? Take your guess. Is it the CIA? Is it Mossad? Is it Russia? Is it North Korea? Is it MI6? I mean, everybody has an agenda, right? Somebody's got control over 64 ballistic missiles with a range of 10,000 kilometers at a time when Western governments want to achieve depopulation because the vaccines didn't kill as many people as they had hoped. See, imagine the possibilities, folks. So that's where we are. Make of it what you will. You can embrace or reject anything I've said today. I'm fine with that as long as you ponder it. Think about what I've said. Draw your own conclusions, of course. I always encourage you to do that. But don't discard the truth about what's happening, where we are in history, how the United States is being eclipsed by Chinese technological dominance and even industrial dominance. And don't be misled by the propaganda of the West. You'll notice there's almost nobody reporting about this, the hackers stealing the command or combat management system source code for these submarines. Why? Because it's a cover-up. It's obviously a cover-up. This is the worst security breach in the history of military activities in across anywhere in Europe. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a showstopper for the defense of NATO. Very bad. So, of course, a key strategy for surviving all of this is being fully prepared. And I'm actually working on another, I don't know, maybe we'll call it an audiobook or a special report about preparing for the crazy times that lay ahead here. Gold and silver, I think, should be considered as one of your key strategies. Our sponsor in that space is Battalion Metals. You can reach them at metalswithmike.com. They're a very high integrity, family-run business that I've worked with for many, many years, and they do a great job. They also have vaulting services available. So metalswithmike.com. And you know what? I want to see where gold and silver are going right now, because this could be a very volatile week for both of them. Looks like gold is down slightly. It's still above 3,300, and it seems likely that it's going to stay above 3,300. And silver, let's see. Silver is above $38 right now, but it's pulled back a little bit, not a whole lot. It's above $38 spot. So, and platinum continues to gain. So it's not too late to get into gold and silver. In fact, it's, in my view, it's very early compared to where it's going. And this week, I will be interviewing Andy Shechtman for an update on all of that. So that's going to be all kinds of fun to hear from Andy about BRICS and so much more. And as health insurance costs are going to skyrocket, taking care of your own health is more important than ever before. So support your health by shopping at healthrangerstore.com. And of course, we have high-density nutritional supplements, and we conduct extensive laboratory testing on everything that we sell. That includes heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and so much more. Plus, almost everything we sell is certified organic. Some things can't be certified organic, like, you know, Himalayan salt. Salt is an inorganic structure. So there's no such thing as organic salt. But everything else that we have that can be organic is organic, with very, very few exceptions to that. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. We greatly appreciate your support. And then finally, if you want to get prepared through some of our affiliate partners, check out rangerdeals.com. And there you'll find all the discount codes and links for the, 20 or so providers that I strongly recommend, everything from chlorine dioxide to ivermectin labeled for pets to firearms magazines, ballistic vests, and many other things, de-googled phones, all kinds of things there. So check it out, rangerdeals.com. All right, now I've got a brand new interview to play for you, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow. And what I'm going to do today is, in the last week, I interviewed three really important people who had strong, profound comments on our financial situation. You just heard one of them from Colonel Douglas McGregor. I also interviewed Bill Holter, and I interviewed Catherine Austin Fitz. And what I'd like to do for you here today, I've never done this before, just a special case, I'd like to play for you the most important segment from each of these three people. In case you couldn't watch the full interviews last week, I want you to hear the most important segments. So for the rest of today's show, you're going to hear snippets or segments from McGregor, Bill Holter, and Catherine Austin Fitz. And heed the warnings from these three individuals, because all three of them are extremely well-informed. They know what's going on, and they are well ahead of the curve. So enjoy this. And then tomorrow I'll have a brand new interview for you about, well, privacy technology, something that's kind of mind-blowing. You'll really enjoy that interview tomorrow. So thank you for listening today. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Well, the other thing, I guess something else we can talk about is back in 2017-18, I was really hopeful of truth bombs dropping all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, I did not buy into Q. I mean, I always said, something doesn't smell right here.
Right.
But I did buy into the rule of law is going to come back. Well, it didn't. And here we are 6 months into Trump's term. And
no arrests.
No arrests.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I mean, I'm hopeful. But truth bombs will also blow up the financial system.
Yeah.
Because the average person, if it's laid out in front of them, that everything has been a lie.
Yeah.
If everything has been a lie, why is the Dow Jones true? Or, you know, whatever. Why
right.
Why are financial markets, why are they the truth when everything else is bullshit? And everything is bullshit today.
Right.
Everything.
Right. Well, the whole system is run on faith. And when people see the truth, they lose faith in the broken system.
That's the logic.
Right. Which is interesting because they'll just be following in the footsteps of people like you and I and our audience because we've already lost all our faith in the broken, corrupt system.
Yeah.
And they can't earn it back.
Right.
All right, Bill. Let me give out your website again, BillHolter.com. And do you... people wire money to buy metals how do they buy
from you? The process, once we've discussed what you want to do, how much you want to do, what product.
Yeah.
Once I put an order in, I clear through Miles Franklin, through Andy's company.
Right.
You'll get an invoice from Miles Franklin with either wire instructions or check instructions. If you send a wire, typically your metal will go out to business days later.
Okay.
During crazy times, you know, it could be longer than that.
Right.
If you send a check, it takes 7 business days for that check to clear.
Oh, yeah.
So your metal won't go out for 9 days because the metal goes out 2 days, 3 days after their good funds in the account.
Will you one day accept stable coins as payment for gold?
Actually, at this point, Miles Franklin does... they have an agreement or something with BitPay.
Where you
can send your Bitcoin to BitPay, they liquidate it, and then back end it out to wherever it's supposed to go.
Because if I end up with stable coins, I want to get rid of them as quickly as possible and get it into gold.
Yeah, they're hot potatoes.
Right. Okay. And then another question is, have you seen more attempts at like transactional fraud in gold and silver? Like people trying to sell you counterfeit stuff or people trying to write bad checks to get gold and things like that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, that very well could be the case. But I mean, anytime metal is sent out from our wholesaler, it's absolutely real. Anytime metal comes in, it's weighed, it's assayed, it's verified to be real.
Yeah.
And metal won't go out until, like I said, the check's got to actually clear.
Right.
So... once there are good funds, and we know that they are good funds, then we'll ship the metal out.
Okay.
So, no, we've not seen, or I have not seen it.
Okay. And do you also, can you recommend, I mean, you don't have to right now, but I mean, do you recommend if people want vaulting services?
Sure.
You have connections with vaults you recommend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and Miles Franklin does have a program with Brinks.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of that, and I'm sure Andy's not going to like to hear this.
That's okay. We all have different views.
Right. But I've told Andy this. Brinks, big company, easy target. In other words, the government could go to Brinks and say, tell us who's got what. As opposed to a public, Brinks is a public company.
Right, right.
A private non-bank vault.
I prefer the private vaults.
There's one in North Dakota right on their website. It says, we will not comply with anything that we view to be unconstitutional.
Yeah. I know those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know you do. That's
yeah. Right. Yeah. Those are the kind of people I tend to know. People who have statements on their websites like that. Okay. Any other final word of advice in terms of preparedness or just people getting ready for what's coming?
Just do the best you can and don't have a broad view. Don't have a narrow view because, you know, you could buy all the gold and silver in the world and you lose power.
Yeah.
You get overrun, you get shot at, whatever. You don't have guns, you get shot at, you get killed.
Yeah.
Have a broad view of what you need to survive on your own. And I've said this before, it's not a bad idea to spend a weekend, go home, hit your switch.
Oh, yeah.
Hit your power switch. Find out what life's going to be like without power.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can afford to do it, you want to have solar, you want to have some type of generators, you want ammo, and you want a community. I mean,
yeah,
you cannot do it yourself. You got to sleep. You can't do it just you and your family. It might have to be 2 families, 3, 4 families. But make a plan, try to shoot holes in your own plan, and just do the best you can.
Well, I have a whole ranch diesel generator, and I run it once a month, and sometimes I switch over to it, and then I store diesel fuel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest way to store energy.
Right.
To store diesel.
Yeah, because it doesn't go bad.
Yeah, and then you notice I drive a diesel truck.
Yeah.
So gas stations go down, I don't
care.
With
a big dog inside.
With a big dog. Yeah. And a big rifle that yeah. I haven't shown you. But I advise people, if you're going to have firearms, get yourself a rifle-size ultrasonic cleaner. It'll save you so much time cleaning your rifles and cleaning your barrels. I mean, I don't want to spend all day with cotton swabs and ramming rods through barrels. Just throw it in the cleaner, man.
Yeah.
And run that sucker for 30 minutes. I got too many rifles to clean manually, man.
Well, you might have a lot of time on your hands.
Well, okay.
It might keep you occupied.
Yeah, I'll probably be planting food if that happens. Figuring out how to grow more
stuff.
Yeah,
that's another thing. I mean, we're in an area, it's hard to grow a lot of things here in Texas because of the heat.
Right.
But, you know, having a greenhouse or a couple greenhouses for wintertime, you know, you can grow spring into early summer, but, you know, July, August, early September is pretty tough.
Yeah, rough around here. All right. Well, that's a good overview. Thank you so much, Bill, for your time today, and really appreciate you and your views on all of this. And I would advise our audience to heed your warnings. Take it seriously because difficult times are coming. So thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right, folks. That's Bill Holter. His website, again, is BillHolter.com. This is not a paid promotion. He's Mr. Gold is your moniker.
Just a regular guy.
Mr. Gold is our regular guy stacking gold and silver. I just always appreciate Bill's wisdom and experience in these areas, and he will set you straight on this. So take advantage of all this information. Feel free to repost this interview on other channels and other platforms. You have my permission to do so. I'm Mike Adams, of course, of Brightown.com, and thank you for watching today. And let's say God bless America. I pray for safety. I don't wish and hope for any kind of disasters. I hope and pray for people to be prepared because we know disaster is coming. So the best thing you can do is navigate it and get ready for it. So thank you for watching. Take care, everybody.
A friend that knows Trump, he's a mutual friend of me and President Trump. And keep in mind, I've always liked President Trump. Sure. I still like him. I don't agree with what the hell he's doing, but I like him. But this friend said something to me. He said, Doug, you have to understand President Trump believes bullying people works. In other words, he thinks if you bully and threaten, you're going to get somewhere. You're going to get what you want. I was a little skeptical of the whole thing till I picked up a book, a very good book, by the way, the other day that I've had for some time, but I hadn't had time to read through it. It's by Fred Kaplan. It's called The Bomb. And it's a very good discussion of presidents and generals and the secret history of nuclear war. Now, I don't know Fred Kaplan, but he wrote a good book. And one of the anecdotes that he recounts in there is under the Bush administration, we wanted to negotiate an agreement with the Russians concerning nuclear arsenals. And Donald Trump in New York City got wind of this and asked, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State, can I talk to the negotiator and give him some advice? I know how to do this. I'm a great negotiator. He said, sure. So he went to see the man who was leading the team to negotiate this arrangement. And he said, here's what you do when you get there and you walk into the room with the Soviets. You put your finger in the chest of the Soviet leader who's leading the team to negotiate this arrangement. And you say, screw you.
And that's supposed to set the tone for,
well, you know, the thing
for
is
compromise.
He used a less polite word than I did. When I said, screw. But the point is that this is supposed to set the tone in his mind based on his infinite successful business experience in New York City. Fortunately, the man who led the team paid no attention to it. We did get an agreement. It took almost 2 years. And that's the other thing that President Trump didn't seem to understand, that you have to sit there when you take over the White House and you have to say, all right, how many things can I accomplish in my time here in the 4 years that I'm going to be here? You should come up with maybe the top five. You should then look at the top five and say, what can I get done quickly? And focus on those, one, two, maybe three. And then the others, you have to understand, it's going to take time. If you want to negotiate new trade relations with China, well, that's going to take months, if not years. That's right. The nature of the beast. That's not abnormal. That's the way it is.
Right. And I would add, Colonel, that if you run around the world telling everybody, screw you, then all those nations are just going to turn around and say, screw the dollar. And they're going to join BRICS.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
It's and by the way, I saw this recently. Somebody said it, this confrontation at a conference between an African leader named Traore or something, and then Senator Vance. This is shortly before the election. And it was very interesting to listen to it because it was a complete failure to understand that much of the world feels as though it's being exploited by us. Now, President Trump has presented the picture to us as though we have been exploited by everybody else.
I know.
The truth is, it's a two-way street. And you, so you're absolutely right. You can't start a new relationship if you're a new president with anybody taking that position. But he believes that. And trying to derail these bad policies apparently is very difficult. Some people can do that. Some people can stand back and say, look, we tried it, it didn't work. We're going to take a different approach, and we'll provide information on that approach in the future. Next question. I don't see him doing that. I don't see him admitting that anything he has said or done might not have been the right answer under any circumstances. So I think ego and everything with him is mortgaged to vanity, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Makes it impossible for him to be agile in his thinking or behavior.
Well, and,
so I
and
see anything good happening.
And we're about out of time. We're going to wrap this up shortly, but I would just add that also, I believe that Trump does not realize the interconnectedness of the global supply chain at this moment in history. As an example, my own company, you know, we do food manufacturing, fulfillment, we have warehouse operations, everything. We were trying to buy about $1 million machine from Italy that would help automate some of our manufacturing. And then he slaps a 30% tariff on the EU. So now it's a $1.3 million machine and we can't get it. But that would help if we got the, see, but that machine's not made anywhere else. You know?
Hey, listen, you're preaching to the choir and you're talking about the externalities of the market, of the marketplace, you know, the unanticipated consequences.
Yeah.
No, he's not being involved with that. And this is not someone who's manufactured anything.
That's right.
He's also surrounded by what I would call financial capitalists. Everything in New York City is financialized. They're not creating anything. They're not building anything. They're essentially charging transaction fees.
That's right.
And that's, most of the people around Trump have made themselves into billionaires by moving money from point A to point B to point C and collecting transaction fees along the way.
Yeah,
it's not production. And well, this nation between 18, I would argue this nation between 1865 and 1955 was built by production capitalists.
That's right.
It produced something.
And that's what my company does here in Texas. We produce things. And Trump, in some ways, makes it more difficult than it should be. But Colonel, I want to give out your website again. It's douglasmcgregor.com. I want to encourage everybody to check out your site. Check out your videos. You're a frequent guest with Judge Napolitano and others. And here's some of your videos here. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up, Colonel?
No, just that, you know, fasten your seatbelts. You're going to go on a roller coaster ride over the next 12 months. And I can't predict where it will end, but I don't see good things in sight. At some point, we're going to have to put the brakes on and change direction, because the direction we're headed in right now is not good.
Okay. Thank you for your analysis, Colonel. Have a great day. Appreciate your time. Be well.
Same to you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Bye. And thank all of you for watching. This has been another very important interview here on Brighttown.com. Feel free to repost this interview on other channels And we'll be doing articles about this interview at naturalnews.com as well. Just some analysis and some snippets that we'll put out there on social media. So thank you for watching today. God bless you all. God bless America. Take care.
There are many things you can do. You are far from powerless. And John Rappaport used to always say, hopelessness is an op and it's planet-wide. Don't buy the op.
I love that.
Okay, so don't buy the op. Okay, so the first thing you need to do is you need to get ruthlessly practical. And there's a wealth of ideas and information up at Solari about this. Okay. What helps is if you are in a good jurisdiction, and as you know, because you are, Todd, in a good jurisdiction, there are some jurisdictions that are better than others. And you want to be around other freedom-minded, oriented people. It pays to be in a cluster. So you want to be in a good jurisdiction and you want to find your tribe. And there's good people everywhere. So you want to do that. Some people can't leave a bad jurisdiction because of family or business or other things. And I understand that, but you can find your tribe. So you want to do two things because, building resiliency is a collective action. Okay. Now, the most important thing, I think, is having a clear mind. So if you come to Solari, and you put in the words mind control, we have a collection of all the things that are being done to compromise your cognitive sovereignty and liberty, your ability to think clearly and think straight, starting with throw out your goddamn TV. Just throw it out. Throw it out. And I know one of you wants, one spouse wants to watch sports. Go to a sports bar. Please just get it out of your house. And no, it's true. The reason the Amish didn't get COVID is they don't have TVs, right?
Yep.
Right. There you go. Okay. So anyway, I would go through that and to navigate this environment, you have an official reality in reality. And the people who understand reality and take action, and everybody can do it, are so much better off than the people who haven't faced the difference between official reality. If you went into the pandemic believing the official reality, you're lucky if you're alive now.
That's right.
And there are a lot of people who aren't. There is a great poisoning. Either you protect yourself from the great poisoning, you're not going to make it. So after you get clear in your mind and you protect your mind from being, brainwashed or poured, full of propaganda, you need to protect yourself against the great poisoning, because otherwise, if you look now at family finances, health is going past food, education, all the other big past rent. People are spending more, because they're sick. So you got to take charge of your health, and if you're listening to Mike Adams, I don't need to tell you this, you already know,
right.
but you got to take care. You got to say, okay, there's a great poisoning. Somebody's trying to poison me and my family and my kids, and I have to take evasive action. And the people who have done a great job of that, I know subscribers who started 10, 20 years ago, they're doing great. They're making money, they're healthy, they're energized, and they know how to duck the Scud missiles. They know they can't trust these people, but yeah, they're navigating successfully because they've learned how to rock and roll in the middle of a war zone. I mean, this is a war. David Hughes calls it omni-war. We're in a war. Somebody's trying to kill you. Get the joke and start taking evasive action. The people who do are doing great.
Now, I would add that Trump and RFK Jr. are announcing silly things like, we've removed the dyes, the red dyes out of this junk food and this junk food. And Trump says, I convinced Coca-Cola to start using some amount of cane sugar. And I'm like, this is insane. You're still poisoning kids with the mRNA. You're poisoning pregnant women, and healthy people don't drink that stuff anyway. Healthy people don't eat Skittles. Healthy people don't do the, who cares? And I say to the end user, to the viewer, you can say no right now. You don't have to wait for permission from RFK Jr. to say no. You can say no. And if you do,
here's
you'll-
the thing.
Yeah.
If you look at the people who are in those boxes, the boxes is controlled. And it's controlled by the people who want us injected with mRNA technology. It's here's the thing. Between 1998 and 2015, $21 trillion went missing from the federal government. That is a financial coup. That is a change in governance systems through financial means. $20 trillion of that went missing from DOD. What that means, let me explain what that means. What that means is a dollar, you know, the primary dealer, and Howard Lutnick was a primary dealer. So Howard Lutnick sells a dollar to your pension funds, a dollar of a treasury bond, and real money comes out of your pension fund and goes into the treasury and then it disappears out the back door. Right?
Right.
So the treasury market has become a big straw from our pension funds into, you know, who knows? Now, $20 trillion of that disappeared through DOD. Some of it could have been the Iraqi coming back, so it could be a two-way street, right? When that money started to disappear, what do we know? Lawrence Wilkerson says that's exactly when the Mossad took over the DOD. You know, he said on public shows, Rumsfeld used to complain that the Mossad had more power at DOD than he did. They were running the building. I mean, Wilkerson is on record. We used that. We just used that in our overview on the Epstein files. It's one of the great clips. So, you know, it is not surprising that the organization that just sucked $20 trillion out of our pension funds and the money has disappeared one way or another is the one that had a ongoing program called Operation Warp Speed, which basically poisoned, killed, and disabled millions of Americans.
That's right.
Because it's bringing down life expectancy. And the only way you can balance the retirement savings if you steal the money in it is to lower life expectancy.
That's right.
Mic drop. Wow.
So, you know,
tapering.
For years and years.
We call it tapering sometimes, right?
Right. So for years and years and years, Mark Skidmore, who's a professor from Michigan State University, amazing scholar, teamed up with me at one point and helped me document all the money that had disappeared from the federal government. And we have lots of his material at missingmoney.solari.com. And we kept publishing and publishing and talking about it and talking about it. And Mark said to me, I'll never forget, because I was sitting in a parking lot. I was talking to him. I was in the car in a parking lot, Bolivar, Tennessee. And he said, why won't you give up on this? And I said, the reason I won't give up on this, Mark, is because if we don't do something about this, the only way they have of balancing the budget is by lowering life expectancy. And that's what they're doing, but they're going to have to accelerate it. And so when the pandemic started, I said, oh, I know what this is. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Boom. And you did, you know, if you look at the last 20 years, the 19 industrial countries are going like this, and the U.S. is slowly separating and diverging out and slowly, steadily going down. But then it hits the pandemic and boom, it goes off the cliff.
Mm-hmm. And they're not done with that plan because COVID.
If you just approved an mRNA shot
right.
for children who have disease, what that means is anybody born with a birth defect or is already vaccine injured, you're going to try and kill. That's what that is. That's what it looks like to me.
And that was the policy of the Third Reich,
yep.
by the way, right? Euthanasia, killing the infirmed. Even we published a story with the propaganda posters to show the history of this in German, saying it's so expensive to take care of people who are physically handicapped, and that money, you know, would be better spent by the state on other projects that right. effectively the state should get rid of them. And they did.
Well, that's why you have such an effort, like in Canada, to promote euthanasia.
That's right.
And assisted death and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but if, you know, if my prime minister were Carney, I might not want to live either. I mean, no, that's a joke. That's
there's
a joke.
Always,
that's a joke.
Always something to do.
Yeah,
there's
I'm kidding.
Always something to do.
We can always, yeah, we have, you can find joy and meaning in your life regardless of what's happening with the insanity around you. Catherine, you've been an amazing guest. Is there anything you want to add before we wrap this up?
So we have scores of interviews and pages about all the different things you can do. If you come to Solari, we have a financial transaction freedom website. It has a bunch of different documents on what your state can do, on what you can do, what investors can do, what communities can do, on and on and on. So there's a ton you can do. And Mike, we have a hero of the week and a pushback of the week every week on the Solera Report, because what we love to promote is all the people who are doing just remarkable and amazing things. And you don't have to do everything. You know, the first thing you have to do is you make sure your mind is free and you're healthy, and there's a lot you can do. But after that, if you get into cahoots with your tribe and your place, there's so many things you can do. And there's so many things people are doing. And you know something? They're having a lot more fun than the other team. So get off the couch, forget about the Uniparty, and start taking action.
I want to add, and that's a great message, Solera.com is the website. And Catherine, I just want to plug our free AI engine. We just launched it a few weeks ago, Enoch. Uh-huh. It's at brighteon.ai.
Enoch? Oh, great.
It's called
what
Enoch. Yeah. Feel free to use it, because it's the only AI engine in the world that's actually trained on real history. We spent about 20 months building it, and it's got all our interviews in it.
Real health information?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It will tell you the truth about what's in vaccines. It will tell you the truth about cancer cures. It's an incredible research tool. I was using it to research DMSO and the blue dye called hematoxylin, which is anti-cancer. So you may find that that's a really powerful tool that sort of complements your research.
I'll check it out. Okay, yeah. I'll check it out.
And then, of course, everybody, check out Solera.com. Todd, any final comments before we wrap this up with Catherine?
Just wow. Thank you, Catherine. I mean, I've followed you for a long, long time, and it's just, I love the interviews where you don't have to ask many questions that you've prepared, because it just flows so well. And you have just been a great steward of this show. So thank you.
Okay. Well, I love people who turn the red button green. So thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. And thank you for staying up for us, and have a blessed evening. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye.
All right. Bye. When you're ready for the cleanest, most nutrient-dense foods and superfoods and nutritional supplements, personal care products, do yourself a favor, do your health a favor, and shop with us at healthrangerstore.com. We have our own mass spec laboratory where we do our own in-house testing for heavy metals, for glyphosate, for bacteria, yeast, and mold, and E. coli, and salmonella, and so much more. We do more extensive testing for the cleanliness and the authenticity of foods than any other company that I've ever heard of. And you can get all of this right now, the cleanest, most nutrient-dense foods, at healthrangerstore.com, plus all these amazing categories. We've got personal care solutions for you, from toothpaste and shampoo and body soap, to preparedness items such as freeze-dried fruits and superfoods in number 10 cans that are sealed and good for very long-term shelf-stable storage. We've got home care products such as cleaning concentrates and laundry detergents, automatic dishwasher detergent, and so on. And of course, we never use fragrance chemicals. We never use artificial dyes. We never use fillers or garbage or anything like that. Nearly everything that we sell is certified organic and non-GMO. And even our vitamin C is non-China vitamin C, non-GMO vitamin C. So shop with us. You'll be glad you did. And we have freeze-dried tart cherries available right now in number 10 cans and in pouches. And those are delicious. You can eat them like snacks. You'll love those. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for supporting us. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.